Mr. DeSanto?
I'm here.
Mr. Walsh?
Here.
Mr. Coons?
Here.
Mr. Leeang?
Here.
Mr. Wilson?
Here.
Mr. Collins, Mr. Mendez, and Mr. Thomas, and our team, we have a call.
Okay.
So, for public questions, the notice for the Mr. Collins, Florida, by the community, the company, the company, the company, the company, the company.
Good deal. Everybody reviewed the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get somebody to make a motion to approve them?
I move.
Second.
Everybody good with them?
I move.
Sounds good, thank you. So, we want to go ahead and get started with the East Ocala redevelopment project budget and grants?
Sure, we'll start with the grants. Since the last meeting, we've put out several ways of advertising it. We emailed it to each business. We got the email addresses from my business tax certificates. Everybody has a business is required to provide an email, so we emailed it to them. We regularly mailed it to the property owner and sent some out to sign companies. So, we've had at least eight businesses that contacted us and sent the information to the packet. Several of them, Ian and I, went out to the site and met with the property owner just to go over the grant program and, you know, the proposed project just to do some of that. So, we only had one come in at this meeting. It's not quite complete. Hopefully, by our next meeting, we'll have more applications. And did we give you hard copy, or did we email them to you so you can get hard copy? And hard copy, so you can help spread the word.
Yeah, I had sent several out, but I didn't get any response.
Well, you know, this time of year, probably everybody has something else to do.
Right.
Anyways, this is the one that, and the packets in front of you, or the application. This is the old Kurt Michaels Building, now the open house. And bright yellow. Tito, who is your committee person that's on the grant review, he and I went out to the site and looked at it. Anyways, there's three windows here. We're proposing to put black canvas awnings. It's just the traditional type awning that, you know, diagonal. I just call it triangle. That's the normal one. However, I requested after they submitted the application, I requested to give us some type of illustration to see exactly what we're approving, but I didn't hear back. The total cost of them is $3,300, so the 50% grant would be $1,650. So,
this is only $1,000 per awning? Roughly?
Yeah, $1,100.
That's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
You know what, is it fabric or wood?
It's the black canvas, the sun umbrella.
So, we have to build a frame for it?
They have to build a aluminum frame for it. It's all described in the application. I usually would send those out in the packet, but I had misplaced it, so that's why you got it late. In the future, you'll get them with the packet. So, you could either just table it until we get more information. I tried quite a bit to get in touch with the applicant, so I'm figuring that they were in a hurry, they would have gotten back to me. So, you could.
Any comment?
We're required to submit an illustration of some type.
Yeah, I think until we see what it's going to look like, we can table it.
Okay.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think we need to tell them, thank you for the application, you know, tell them we're not against it or nothing, we just need, you know, some kind of goal or something. Tell us what it's going to look like.
All right.
Great.
Can I make a recommendation on the notices that go out? So actually, I knew people in my office received a postcard or something, and they didn't know what building it was in reference to. So they saw the big map of the CRA, and I guess there's a map, and they didn't quite understand what was going on.
Yeah, the first map we sent was of the entire CRA, which was incorrect. And then we sent out the grant area, which is basically similar.
So I guess maybe they got the first one, and they were like, oh.
They should have gotten the second one.
You can plug all this up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Our next item is the redevelopment of the old fire station block. This is what we emailed out to you yesterday, I guess. Again, normally we would send this up earlier, but we've been working on it this week, so it wasn't quite ready, so the timing didn't match up, unfortunately. So this is the old fire station. The city owns this entire block. This is Third, Second, Tuscarawilla, Montula. There's a fire station. The city owns the entire block. So about a year ago, perhaps longer, the city put this up for a bid for redevelopment. And it came out of the Midtown Master Plan, which should have a copy of it. There was five priority catalytic sites were identified. The fire station was seen as the most likely feasible to proceed. First, one of the reasons was because the city owned it. When they first sent out the first proposal, submitters were required to submit a plan for the entire property. So we wanted something done with this fire station, repurposing the fire station, and some development around here, primarily residential. When we did the Midtown plan, these are the two concepts that were proposed. And they're just concepts that, you know, they're something people use as a guide. It's not a mandatory plan, but this would be the fire station. This would be some kind of residential, and this would be also residential, some townhomes. And then there was this concept that had single-family homes on Tuscarawilla facing the historic single-family homes on the other side of the road. So this was in the plan. These concepts were included in the first proposal. So anyways, we got basically two proposals. One was more higher than the other because it, I believe, covered more of the site. I think one was more focused on the fire station. Anyways, those negotiations went on for
at least a year, and it just didn't work. So we're putting it out again. The one change is you can submit, the developer can submit for the entire development, repurposing the fire station and the surrounding residential, or they can submit just for the fire station, or they can submit just for the residential. And that proposal is going out later this month. And we attached some background material in the email. It kind of describes the project. This is a microbrewery, winery, or distillery. And if you travel anywhere, these things are becoming just very popular. Attract a lot of people. You know, it's kind of a social experience, I think, to have these. So they're very popular, and that's kind of the concept
we're going with. We hope we get more responses this time. And then these are just illustrative pictures of what we're looking for with the fire station. And since it's in the East Ocala CRA, we're wanting to budget some money for incentives for the project. It's going to take quite a bit of money to convert the fire station to a brewery restaurant, so it's highly likely that the developer would ask for some type of incentives. Kind of like the grant programs we have from downtown in East Ocala. So that's the kind of the action item we're looking for at this meeting. But we can go through the project if you want. Do you have anything to add, David?
No, only one clarification, because like I said, we were working on it this week getting that down ready. We were originally talking about having the three options, just fire station, just residential, or low. And now it's just the two. So you can, it's required that a proposal include at least something for the fire station. And then it's optional whether or not they want to include the residential, but they don't have to. So you could focus on just the fire station conversion in the proposal, or you could focus on both, but you can't propose something for just the residential. So the fire station conversion is the top item. It will probably go out at the end of this week and will stay out for probably 2-3 months. So we'll have a good sized window there to take proposals. We'll do more outreach this time, I think, than we did last time to try and get more groups to respond. But like I said, the last one went in for a year, never able to get the numbers to work out. Something that I think was probably a flawed proposal to begin with. And so it was some wasted time. We're hoping to make up for it now by moving on this. Do you have any questions about those lines? Probably answer.
What was the biggest stumbling block?
I think I wasn't on the negotiation committee, so I can't answer that with 100% certainty. If I was on the negotiation committee, I don't know how much detail I could get into, but I think the biggest stumbling block was that they were projecting higher revenues than were fiscally feasible.
No, that's
It just didn't match up with reality. And so when they had to adjust down, they had to figure out how to adjust the proposal. They were never able to figure out how to do that. Is what I think the biggest issue was.
I think our market just doesn't get the rents and prices that special South Florida markets.
Yeah.
And they were from South Florida.
Yeah. And we did a housing study specifically for that purpose to try and figure out what range of units at what range of rents were feasible to be absorbed in the market over a certain period of time. With the intent that study would be used in proposals for these catalog sites. And that proposal in particular for this piece of property had projected rents higher than the top of the ranges in that study. So from the get-go, they were going to have to adjust that.
I got a question.
Yeah.
In that area, I'm not sure where the line or the border is, but that's the Tuscaloosa Historic District.
Yeah.
Is there a requirement that the new residential have some sort of facade that somewhat resembles historic structures?
That's something we talked a lot about as we were working on the plan, because it does border, and even the historic district actually cuts into the site for a small portion of it on the east side of the site, kind of down near the
the southeast. It's really interesting about it, but whether that was there or not, it would still be important that on the east side of the property, all of those, if they're residential, we're guessing the property residential, those residential buildings, the facades on the east facing the historic buildings across the street, would need to be designed in a way that they're compatible. So if they were high density, like that alternative one, kind of layout shows, then they would be designed in a way that they came down to one story closer to the eastern border. They resemble the facade of a single-family home, even if they weren't. Something to make it compatible, to make it so that when you're driving down Tuscola, you don't notice a huge difference on either side of the street. So, yeah, that would be a really important part of the design.
It seems like the lake view would be something to capitalize on, and I see that it, both of the proposals, I think that little parking lot on the east side was left there. No, I guess it goes residential all the way to the pond. It just seems like that would be something to push for, to have like second story loft apartment with, because the pond does look nice,
and
it would look good with the fire station too, if they could kind of utilize that view.
Yeah, and another, this is an idea that didn't end up in one of the alternatives, but you know how we've got that admin building? So if that were to come down and they were to put something higher density here, we think that might work out well too, because you'd be able to make this maybe two or three stories come down on the eastern side like everything else, and have it so that a lot of units could capitalize on that view. The other kind of thought process behind use case is this building back here. There's an elevation change as you go from north to south. It goes up. So if this went up three, maybe even four stories in this corner of the site, those upper floor units could probably seep over the fire station building and be able to get views of Tuscola Park as well. So we're trying to capitalize on that view for as many people as we can. So depending on how you design the site, you put something tall in the front right on the park, you've got some people with a great view, but you're blocking the view for the units behind.
That's just the one that would be on the southwest you were talking about.
Yeah.
Their view is going to see the Seminole plant a lot better than if it was on the east side of the fire station.
Yeah, and so there could be an opportunity to flip that, as long as it was designed in a way that the eastern side had to drop down a little bit, so like Gus was saying, these are just illustrative. Just kind of to show how many units would be possible, what level of density would be possible.
The one on the left seems like it's too dense, just to deal with car parking.
Might be a little too dense. What you can't see too from this really easily is that there are no alleys that would be between each of those at the town trustee buildings on the east side, and they would be tucked under parking.
Yeah, some of the parking is on the first floor.
Oh, underneath the buildings? Okay, all right. That would help.
Just, you know, it's not like that's a real part of that, because that's just a sketch, but that was what was kind of thought about, with an option like that.
So I have two questions. How do you, if you split them up, how do you ensure a cohesive development plan when you have two different developments? I mean, I guess there's something that has to be in place if the fire station goes by itself.
Yeah.
Because that's the most likely, right?
Yeah.
To ensure that there's some type of
collaborative plan. For someone to do both, but
the fire station conversion is the priority, so if that would come first and the developer would not to do the second part, basically they would set the framework for what the second piece has to match in terms of design and that sort of thing. So it would put a little bit more restriction on the second developer to come in, because the boundaries will get determined at that point, the design will get determined, and we're kind of just going to be left in a position when we're dealing with the first developer of making sure that whatever they propose isn't going to make the second part infeasible. So
if they came in for the whole time, we could just say, wait, no, can't do that.
But we're going to be putting more parking on street parking on First Street.
And then I think a microbrewery is really cool, but I guess I don't understand why you have to serve alcohol. And I get that we're trying to bring people in and do, but you know, there may be uses out there that we're not thinking of that can create the same type of environment and atmosphere that aren't a microbrewery, micro winery, or micro distillery and could occupy that same space.
Yeah.
So I fundamentally guess I oppose the idea of restricting it to somebody that has to create alcohol to, I mean, I like alcohol. And I think there may be somebody else out there who could do a similar type of concept about brewing.
That's a great point, and that's why kind of in these RFPs we always build in the flexibility in the language. So if someone can propose something, and it might not be the letter of, you know, the request, but write in language that if they're proposing something similar, they can just provide that justification for the change. So if they're changing it from a microbrewery to just a restaurant with common space, commissary kitchen with maybe like two or three spaces for different restaurants to make out a very unique component, an indoor space for maybe some other type of use to complement the restaurant. Something like that that meets the original intent of the plan, that meets the intent of the RFP. We make it so that none of these requests for proposals is so binding that we kind of tie our own hands. So if you know somebody who wants to do something a little bit different, don't turn them away. We won't turn them away. We want people to submit proposals. But on the other hand, we want to give enough of a vision. It means that people understand what the goal is. So if you leave the language too vague, people don't really know what we're after. So giving an example of uses like this is typically something pretty helpful. It's people's thought process is going.
I think the Plant City thing in Winter Garden was kind of an inspiration for this. Very successful operation.
Also, the success of Infinity was probably an inspiration. And Infinity is really drawn downtown, you know, the scope of downtown a little bit away from the core. So, and the hope is that this will do the same thing for the northern side of downtown in Tuscola.
Do they own that building or is it leased?
Leased.
Infinite Brewery?
Mm-hmm.
I guess
it's a lease.
They can't,
they're trying to buy it.
Okay.
They're going to definitely move at some point.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad because it's a good location.
Gus, are you asking for us to vote on this?
Yeah, well,
as far
just to put the move 100,000 from our fund balance to incentive for a grant program. We don't have to specify the details of the program right now, or what improvement would be eligible. We just need to have a budget for it. We can decide at our next meeting what we think would be eligible project work items.
So the other, I guess, question, are we trying to
to vote this directly to fire station, because this is anywhere in the CR area right now, the way it's ordered. So anybody, I mean, because the idea was that it would basically be for this project. So should we state that?
Well, like you said, we've been working on this lately, giving like different direction from different people. So
because right now, if we're saying if it meets the intent of something that creates activity and it's anywhere in the East Ocala CRA, then anybody anywhere in the East Ocala CRA could apply for like a restaurant, and then, you know, if we're trying to use it for this redevelopment, it's not meaning what we're trying to do.
Well, we could make it specifically for catalytic sites identified in the Midtown planning.
Is there a reason that we wouldn't say this site specifically? Or are we not allowed to do that? I don't know what's right or wrong. Just
no, it's neither one's right or wrong. It's just what our priority is. I would say just make an incentive program for catalytic site in Midtown, which essentially limits it to this site anyways, because this is the only catalytic site in Midtown and Western Downtown CRA.
Yeah, that's true. It is the only one in the east.
Midtown, catalytic.
Yeah. Midtown, so we're basically saying this site without saying this site.
But I think it is perfectly acceptable just to say that.
I just didn't want, you know, someone to come and apply for, you know,
right,
the old Kmart.
So we'll just put catalytic sites in the Midtown plan and start down the city.
Is this building considered significant in any way?
Historically?
Yeah, historically or anything? No.
I mean, not officially. Some people may consider it that way, but not. It hasn't been surveyed and documented.
What do you typically see on these deals that it's a redevelopment? What is the city offering? Are they offering the building to lease it? Are they offering the building to sell it?
You have to make a purchase offer.
Okay.
So you make a purchase offer and say, well, we buy for this, but the city has to do this for me. So everything's negotiated. Nothing's set up front. So we just look at what's the best offer.
Okay.
So if someone's about a building and says, I don't need any tenants, I'm good. But typically
you got control over the development of it, right?
Oh yeah, we have to approve everything. Yeah. Definitely get worked out
from
the agreement.
Right.
Developer's
agreement
between the developer and the city.
Well, whoever raises their hand to do it, it's going to inherit a major project when it comes to expenditures.
Oh yeah,
major.
This is an 8,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
It seems like that frontage would be better used with commercial on the first floor and residential stuff on the upper floors.
Yeah.
Because 8,000 square feet seems like a lot to have to manage, like Infinite Brewery deals with 900 square feet or something, and that seems like about capacity. Well, that just seems like it's prime real estate right at the front. If you could make that residential with the parking in the back of that and have restaurant mixed use stuff somewhere else on the site that's not as prominent to the view.
Well, like David said, the city's open to good idea.
My preference would be to table this because the application
will be coming in for 3 months anyways, and that'll give us an opportunity to contemplate and send you all our comments and thoughts since we got it yesterday. Correct, you just gave me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a great idea, and I agree on it would be awesome, or something like it. But there's a lot of things to think about, and it's a lot of money.
Right. You've got time. Well, first, that's put the money in the budget, just for the general line item.
Can we do that next month?
February?
February.
Yeah, we don't need the details of the incentive, just move it from the contingency to the line item. So right now, there's $230,000 in the fund balance. That's kind of a contingency. So we want to move $100,000 into grant for catalytic study. The benefit of having it from contingency and something dedicated to the study, even if you leave some of the details of what the grant would look like until a future meeting, would be that we could then, you could then help attract more developers with the RFP, because we would be able to put the RFP that there's one set aside in the CRA to help with the conversion. Might help, might not.
If we put the money in and someone decides to tear the building down, would the money go to reducing the cost of the property, or where would the money go if they didn't think the microbrewery would be as good as all residential or
well,
something different?
Usually with incentives, you're trying to fill the feasibility gap. So mm-hmm. Someone comes in and says, I want to build this, and my money's for this. I've got this gap here of $100,000. Mm-hmm.
Well, like Ken said, it's a major, yeah. Major project. I don't know.
Well, we're anticipating it's likely whoever does it's going to ask for some incentive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, there's fire and building codes they have to deal with, and we want the outside design to connect well to the surrounding streetscape.
Is it mandated that it be sold and it should not be leased, or is that what you're saying?
Well, but it could be either one. Right now we're...
It could be either one.
Like I said, if everything's open, I think we would prefer to sell it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. But finding somebody to write that check,
yeah.
And then develop it and do all the improvements that have it taken. Yeah. A lot of site work here when it comes to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
You
should know.
I do.
What the city is willing to offer and put on the table in the negotiation, could be changes from deal to deal. The only thing that I think is pretty consistent across the board is that the city is usually not interested in continuing to hold the property after. So chances are we would probably want to convey the property. I think that's almost certain. Whether or not we require them to purchase the property, the cost of the land just gets factored into all the other incentives that we're considering. It's just a dollar amount at the end of the day, like everything else. So the number of dollars the city's willing to put on the table to incentivize the project, maybe that comes in the form of the land, maybe it comes in the form of something else.
Well, as a consulting end of my business, I do a lot of site things. So I don't do them myself personally, but when I go to clients who will look at things like this, the deals that are being offered are, here's the property for a dollar, pay a rent for the next 20 years, kind of thing, or 30 or whatever the case may be. You can convey at that point, and you're done. And then you're going to have to support them, because most of these people are going to want to borrow money from the city. So, like, it gets fishy in there, it gets iffy in there. There's a lot of factors here.
Yeah.
I don't know, if
you're not comfortable with
it, I don't think we have enough. approve anything, make sure that's my own thing. I mean, something $100,000 over, that's a nice incentive, but in this case, I don't think the government wants it.
The other thing you can do, if you feel comfortable incentivizing the project, but you don't feel comfortable with any of the details yet, the grants, you could always decide on the details of what the grant would cover.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that approach.
And it could be set aside, and you could decide to be really strict with it, you could decide to be really lenient with it. Decide to put it towards only things that are the most important to the CRO plan. It's up to you, but the decision that you will be making if you decide to move from contingency today is just, would you be willing to incentivize the project at all to the CRA, and if so, to what amount?
What do you think, Todd? Would you go for that?
I'm a really passive person, so I like to think about things for a while, but there's a lot of people here, so I think
that's... Well, I thought it was a motion to do that. Absolutely. I would put a motion here, move from the contingency to the...
Cadillac site incentive.
To the next platform, and... But it's it. Can't hurt it. Can't hurt it.
Yeah, it would... Might help to raise some eyebrows, raise some interest.
Another concession, but I would be worried with it, maybe another concession might be available, something like that. But don't give anything out, see what you get. The bigger the hook. Who's responsible for marketing that?
All of us.
No, I understand that, but I mean, as far as making the decisions, like, there's ways to do it.
Well, it goes through our procurement process, so they have their means of putting it out, and then we put it out to local and regional developers or restaurant operators that... Yeah, and so if you have anyone that you think would be good, send us the name.
I got a question. Yeah, Ken was saying some deals are made where a piece of property is sold for a dollar and worked out in lease payments or whatnot. Could you guys can still negotiate if somebody wanted the whole block? You can negotiate the price, and the $100,000 would be over and above whatever you guys are negotiating directly. Like the CRA money is independent of the city's negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and we don't know what we're going to get.
But the CRA stuff is independent of the city of Boston Towers.
That's right. Well, to them, it might not be, but the house. But at the end of the day, they would have to apply for the grant. So, and the grant will be structured again. So you'll have a chance to, for the next couple of months, like about what you would want to be included in that. We had a grant included, but that's something that you guys to really set the standards are. And the way that you would have it so that the CRA grant money is kind of above and beyond what the city is contributing is by specifying exactly the types of things that the grant money can be spent for. So particular types of site improvements are important to the CRA to be included in those you can step for the grant so that it can find certain types of site improvements, things like that.
I guess the broader question here would be, if we didn't allocate it towards this, what other alternatives are out there that this money would be used for? Well, we're trying to find the highest and best use, right? I mean, if this is the best use of funds, then that answers your question. Yeah.
Well, this property right now pays property tax, or most of it does. So you put a couple $1 million project in there, CRA is going to get the return of the year. It's
protect the property tax, because 90% of the property tax increase comes to, or 75% comes to the town CRA.
But if you structure the grant in a way that, at the end of the day, doesn't really apply to what's being proposed on site, you would reallocate the fund. Because there would be anything else to...
If you're asking if we have another project in mind, we don't have another project right now.
Right, so you would just have to reallocate the fund.
Could you reread the motion?
Please, my motion to contribute $100,000 to be used in the Cadillac sites in the town area is approximately...
It seems like if somebody's interested in this project, $100,000 is not going to make a huge bit of difference.
Well, we don't have much more.
I think it really depends on if they take the required fire station option or the entire site.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, the entire site, that's what I'm thinking of.
Depending on the size of the road equipment, you know, $100,000 could be a big, I mean, we're not, if you decide to allocate money for road equipment.
When you guys did like a study on housing rental property prices, is Ocala ready for a 8,000 square foot brewery complex? Like, are there feasibility studies for a restaurant that big?
Or was on residential.
Mm-hmm. I could see residential working.
Well, what it would take is somebody that's done this before, maybe in another city, so they know what their indicators are as far as what's feasible. They would probably, no matter what we produce, they would probably do their own feasibility study anyways.
Mm-hmm. We require that here. We require them to submit some market study, market research, showing feasibility of the project. Mm-hmm.
Did they do that for the last negotiation that you were dealing with?
They did, yeah. I don't remember the details of it now.
That was converting the fire station to some sort of...
Yeah, and a lot of that got left out because they didn't know the exact costs of converting the building, because they didn't know the state mm-hmm. the building was in. In terms of being built to the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So when I kind of separated, I was on the selection committee, I wasn't on the negotiation committee. At selection, they knew ballpark how expensive it would be, but there was a big unknown because they didn't know what state the building was in, if they would have to replace certain basic things.
Mm-hmm. It's also like 6 or 8 inch concrete floor, I'm guessing, for those fire trucks. Yeah. So if they're like running new plumbing or changing it around, that's some major numbers to cut that floor up.
Pump it up.
Yeah.
That can be done.
Yeah, it can be done for sure.
Done? I have to.
What's the banker thing?
He's great.
Yeah.
They don't come to him.
No.
Is it rich ticket?
It is.
Well, let's we've got a motion. Anybody got a second?
I recommend we hold off. And maybe there's some better use for the money until we get some more details, or maybe if someone bites onto it with some intention.
When's RFP due?
March 11th.
The $100,000 is for the whole block project, right?
Mm-hmm.
that if somebody wants to develop the fire station and request to use the $100,000, then there's nothing left if another developer...
And you would say, you could say, well, you know, we gotta save money for this, so the max we're gonna give you is the fire station.
Okay, so we can just...
Square foot, it's kind of easy to figure out.
Yeah. This, you have to pass a green structure.
Right. So I think that in the RFP, you could put, you know, the CRAs and discussions to offer $100,000, something you'll know prior to submittal. That's a single line item on the sales spreadsheet and modify whatever their return is. And that would give us a second to, before putting it in a line item, thinking for a second, because if there is something else out there, or, you know, if it is a drop in the bucket, because I don't know about, you know, remodeling a restaurant, and would it make a difference? Are we giving away money that wouldn't have mattered anyways and could have been used to revitalize a different area?
Yeah, if we put the money in and it is just out there for 2.5 years till somebody bites on it, that money's just being held up for that time. We can't use it for other projects. Is my understanding correct?
And I think that putting something like that, given the RFP, would probably help us as much as saying we can buy for something and
you don't get a big quote. And we can put it on the agenda for February, and, you know, make a decision. It'll give us time to think about it and everybody. This, you know, we have $238,000, $100,000, you know, whatever percent that is, 40%, to just, you know, set aside today. I don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm.
What other information could we give you?
I think I'll probably reach out to you directly with questions. If everybody does that, we're allowed to reach out to you, and you could send any responses back to group, right? If there's something that we think is a rational piece of information that we might need.
Do you have anything from what drew you inspiration to this, the Plant City location? Do you have any type of...
It's in Winter Garden.
Winter Garden, okay.
We call it Plant Street.
Plant Street, okay.
But like I said, these type of facilities are just popping up everywhere.
And just by the minute and a half of seeing that picture, it seemed like that Plant City building was much smaller than 8,000
square feet. Well, that building you saw, yeah. I don't know where that
is. Oh, okay, that wasn't, okay.
No, if you want to see the building, it's Plant Street, basically downtown Winter Garden. And they built a brand new building, and it had a brewery in the back. And they had a serving area, and then they had kind of an open air area for restaurant, bakery, meat market, other kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then surrounding the building was all the seating. They had some seating inside, but a lot of seating outside. So if you go into whatever restaurant you want, you order, and then you bring out your table outside. But there's all these other little, almost like a farmer's market set up.
Is it Armature Works in Tampa? Is that they sell
affordability?
Armature Works?
Oh, yeah. But the one in Winter Garden, you know, started with the microbrewery. But it's a really vibrant place. I mean, it helped turn Winter Garden around quite a bit. There was already in the turnaround, and this just accelerated.
So I'd like to make a motion to table for now, revisit on the next agenda, and go from there.
Yeah, second that.
And then just feel free to email me with questions, comments, whatever you need.
All in favor of that? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody know it? Any other business?
No, I have nothing else.
Our next meeting is?
Scheduled for February, whatever day.
What's the third? Is it the third or fourth?
Fourth Wednesday. We meant the third Wednesday for the holiday.
27.
Okay.
So if the issue becomes more urgent, we'll contact you if we need to have a meeting in January.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other business? Can we ask for a term?
What's he doing here?
So move. Hey.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Todd. Okay.